Well, Element Church, as we get into God's Word together today, I wanted to take a little half a step back and give you guys an update, which normally I would do in the intro to the live stream, but I want to make sure that everybody can hear it. And if you're catching this teaching later on the podcast or through our app, then you wouldn't have gotten the intro message. So I want to just let you guys know that God has opened up an opportunity for us to have a downtown studio space right on the Michigan State Strip. So we are so excited, you guys. It is 213 and a half. East Grand River, East Lansing, Michigan. If you know where the Urban Target is, right downtown, it's just east of there. And guys, we're so excited. It's actually a basement level space. It's about 1,500, 1,700 square feet. And it is going to be our new studio space. It's also going to give us space to meet for small groups, youth meetings. Our team is going to be able to meet there. And it will be a hub for Element Church 24/7. We'll be able to use it whenever we need it. You guys, we are so excited that God has opened up that opportunity for us. I wanted to just say thank you for so many of you who have prayed for us to have a space and a home. And even though we don't have our Sunday morning home yet, we're so excited to actually have a little bit of a hub right down on campus. So, hey, that's something to celebrate together. Also want to let you know, we've got some updates and things that are happening there. We're getting bids for painting. We're looking at some ways we can update it. Obviously, it's a leased space, so there are some limitations to what we can do. However, we are doing a lot of work down there. And if that's something that you feel led to give into financially, I want to encourage you to go to theelement.church/give, and then the dropdown, you can actually go to Future Facility. You can actually give money right into our project here as we are looking at our downtown studio space. We'll get you guys some information as we get up the road and kind of start to get in there. And also, you'll see some changes, obviously, to this setup here, because we will not be in this studio anymore as we're building our new studio. So excited about that. Let me pray for us this morning. Let's jump into God's Word together. Father, thank you for this morning. God, I pray right now that you would speak to your people. God, I am just a frail, broken, and fallible human voice. But God, I pray that you would use my voice today to speak your word to your people. And God, we know that your word is the word that brings life change and healing and hope and refreshing. And so God, I just pray that your word would go forward and you would speak to your people as you wish to today. God, I pray for every person within the sound of my voice, that their ears would be open and their hearts would be open to receive from you. And God, we pray that today would not just be a talk, today would not just be some sort of online exchange, that this would be a moment that's marked with your presence. And so I pray and invite you, Holy Spirit, to invade the studio right now. I ask you to invade the space wherever this is being watched. Holy Spirit, come now, do your work and speak. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys, so excited to be back in this space again and continue our series, Summer Playlist, Week 2. Today, I want to talk to you about a message that I'm titling Presence, Position, and People, or People, Position, and Presence, whichever way you want to put that together. And really, what I want to give us is I want to give us a little bit of a framework for life. And I know sometimes I like to teach very practically. Sometimes I like to teach a little bit more theoretically or conceptual. I think the theoretical and conceptual actually helps give us a contextual understanding of life so that we can take those practicals and put them into a framework. And so today I want to do something that I love to do that I haven't done in a little while. And as we're looking at Element Church of kind of rebuilding and really in some ways relaunching or rebooting this fall, I want to talk to you today about rediscussing the church. Why are we here and why do we do this? And again, it's not just about the church where we gather. It's about a framework for life. It's really about a framework for living. And so I want to talk to you today again about relationships, which I would say is people. I want to talk to you about being positioned, which is kind of like the purpose, like why am I here? And then I want to talk to you today about presence, God's presence. That's worship. And so I want to talk about those three things: presence, position, and people. And these really are the things that fulfill core human needs. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read this out of the Message paraphrase, but Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, it says this, says, I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. So I'll pause there for a second. That's the first underline in my notes. So Paul is praying. He's talking to the Ephesian church, and he says, I'm praying for you, church at Ephesus, and here's what I'm praying for you. Here's the framework around life that I want you to understand. He says, I'm asking God to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. There's presence. That's God's presence. Jump back into the scripture. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do. That's the positioning thing. How is God positioning you in life? So it's God's presence. How are you being positioned? And then check this out. So that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do, to grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. So this passage of scripture, Paul is saying, look, here's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that you would have the intelligence and discernment to be able to know God personally, to experience his presence. And then I'm asking that your eyes would be focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do, exactly how he wants to position you and assign you currently for where you're at. And then I want you to grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers, the utter extravagance of his work in us as a people. Presence, position, and people. God's presence, how God positions us, you specifically, and then his people working together. And church, really, as we're talking about today, what is the church? Church is really a compilation of those things. God's presence, being positioned to make a difference, and then really God's people together. I'll say it like this in my notes. A people positioned together for God's presence. We're a people positioned together for God's presence. And really, that's what Element Church is. It's a people that are positioned together for God's presence. And I'll even add to that a little bit more, a people positioned for God's presence, changing the world together. And that's what I want to continue to talk about, because church isn't really a place that you go as a spiritual checklist or a spiritual to-do. Church is actually a people that you join to seek God, to seek God's presence, to actually know yourself and actually get to know how God wants to use you, how you can be positioned, and then actually how you can actually help a hurting world together with God's people. Here's another portion of scripture that kind of lays this out. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. I'll read this in the New International Version. Let me set this up. There's a gentleman that comes to Jesus, and he's actually asking Jesus, hey, what's the most important thing for me to know? What's the most important commandment? If I'm going to think about life and I need a framework for life, how do I think about this? How do I get at this? Hey, Jesus, there's a lot of commandments from an Old Testament context, from a Jewish context. He says, there's a lot of commandments. What do I really need to focus on? Matthew 22, 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in all the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, here's what I want you to see in this. There's actually three pieces of this right here. Jesus says, here's the most important thing. Of course, I'm paraphrasing him, but here's what he says. He says, here's the most important thing. When he's asked, what's the most important thing? He says this, love God with everything you have. Construct your life around God's presence. So, hey, that's what you need to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he says, and the second thing is like the first. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. But there's actually two things in there. Did you catch it? It's loving other people, loving your neighbor as yourself. So you actually have to love yourself and understand yourself as well. So there's three things. There's loving God, which is seeking God's presence. It's presence. Remember today we have our three words, presence. And then loving self, or knowing self, that's being positioned with God, being in partnership and position. And then it's loving others. That's actually changing the world with a people. So we have presence, position, and people. We have love God, love self, know self, let God love you, and then loving other people. And really, that is what life is all about. And that's really what the church is all about. And therefore, that's really what Element is all about. Element is a church of all ages that is loving God, self, and others at the intersection of Christ and culture. And we could talk about what all of that means more in depth in another setting. But what I want you to see today is that we're a church of all ages. We are a people together, and that we're loving God. We're learning to love ourselves. We're learning to know ourselves. We're learning to be positioned. And then we're learning to love others. Love God, love self, love others. And we're doing that together as a people. I have 3 points for us today because we're a people that are positioned by God for his presence. And I want to talk about, again, the church and what the church is, but it's really a framework for life. And so three points to just kind of give us this framework. I bet you can guess what they already are. If you can't, I'll give them to you in some different words here, but I'll tie it back to our words. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one is this, what is a church? What are we doing as a church? What are we doing as a people? What are we doing as individuals? The first one is this, practical frames and foundations. This is being positioned. This is the middle one. This is learning how God works through you and how God works through me. He's positioning us together. There's an interesting set of scriptures in Numbers chapter 3. We don't preach a lot out of the book of Numbers, but the book of Numbers is actually a book that's pretty fascinating. One of the things in the book of Numbers is there's instruction for the Levitical priesthood, which was the people in the Old Testament, the Levites were actually the priests. They were the ones that labored in the temple. And I want to read in Numbers 3:17. It says, these were the names of the sons of Levi. Levi was the priestly lineage for the Hebrews. These are the names of the son of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And so there's these three sons, and they all have different positionings, or they all have different assignments. I'm going to keep reading Numbers 3:36 and 37. The Merarites were appointed to take care of the frames of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was where they would meet with God. It was like the pre-runner of the temple. The frames of the tabernacle, its crossbars, posts, bases, all of its equipment, everything related to their use, as well as the posts of the surrounding courtyard with their bases, tent pegs, and ropes. Numbers 3:25, at the tent of meeting, the Gershonites were responsible for the care of the tabernacle and tent and its coverings, the curtain at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Numbers 3:31 says, Kohath was responsible for the care of the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the articles of the sanctuary used in ministering, the curtains, and everything related to their use. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that there are people that are coming together and they're laboring in a place where people meet with God. So they're laboring for the presence of God. Now they're not earning God's presence, but they're partnering with God to steward his presence, right? They're being positioned together. They all have an assignment. If I could say it like this, they all have a part to play. Do you know that everybody is a 10 somewhere? Did you know that you have a part to play? And if you're here today and you're watching this at Element Church, you have a part to play at Element Church. If you're like, well, hey, this is my first time watching Element. I'm not in the city where Element is. I don't know that I have a part to play at Element. Great. You have a part to play in God's church. So maybe it's a church in the city that you're in that you need to get involved in. Whatever it might be, maybe you can get involved remotely with Element Church, which, by the way, you can do. If you text Team Element to 97,000 right from your phone, you can actually fill out an interest form. You can actually serve with Element Church from wherever you are. There is no geographical boundary to some of the ways in which you can help serve this church. But the point is, you guys, that everybody has a part to play. And, you know, God has a purpose for you. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. And God wants to use your life for his glory. And if you're listening to this today, I believe that that's his message to you. Because we all are positioned together. And I look at some of these things that are laid out here in the book of Numbers. You know, you could say something like, well, you know, some people say, Pastor Scott, I don't really know that I have a lot to bring, or what I bring isn't really that extraordinary. Well, what's fascinating is that God's ministers in the book of Numbers, look at what they're responsible for. The Levites, the ones who labored in the temple, the priests, they were responsible for the frames of the tabernacle, the crossbars, the posts, the bases, the equipment, everything related to their use, the surrounding courtyards with their bases, tent pegs, ropes. Look, they're doing really practical work with their hands. They're like gardening, you guys, but they're contributing to the place where people and God meet together. If you keep reading, right, the Gershonites, they're caring for the tabernacle and the tent and its coverings, the curtain at the entrance to the tent of meeting. They're like hanging curtains. They're doing very practical work. I could go on and on and on. Numbers 3:31, Kohath, they were responsible for the care of the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the articles of the sanctuary used in ministering, the curtains, and everything else related to their use. Here's the point. You could say, well, hey, it's just a crossbar. It's just a beam. It's just gardening. It's just curtains. But it's not, though, because they're all working together and each one of them has a position to play. Each one of them has a part to play. Each one of them is positioned and takes a responsibility for something. Now, this is really important because when we talk about the church, we understand something, that when the tabernacle was put together, there was the frames and the posts. But those were not typically seen because the frames and the posts would go in and then there would be a covering over, like a tent over it. You don't see the frames in the post, but the frames in the post add stability and structure. And the tent can't be constructed without the frames in the post. And I want to speak to somebody today. You think that your gifting that God gave you, maybe it's administration. Maybe it's caring for kids. Maybe it's hospitality. Maybe it's prayer. You say, hey, what I do is not really a visible piece. Like Pastor Scott, you speak to like a camera or to like a group of people, or there's like people that do worship and they sing. I don't really have any of that. I mean, I have administration. I don't really think that's that important. Can I tell you something? It might not be a seen gift in the way that public speaking is a seen gift, but it is just as important, and I would actually contend in some ways, maybe even more important, you guys, because they add stability and structure, the posts and the frames. You have a part to play. Please do not confuse importance with visibility. We do this all the time. We confuse importance with visibility. Can I tell you, at Element Church, there are lots of frames and posts. There are church government frames and posts. We are a church that has a board of overseers that is a spiritual accountability for us. There are other pastors that lead other churches. And then we have a board of trustees, which is a financial and legal checks and balances here. That's our legal board for our nonprofit. And then we have our staff, our pastors, and those that are on staff. And those groups work together as a government kind of structure here. Those are posts and frames. We can't have a church without that. Some other posts and frames are practices and policies. We have practices and policies that take place here at the church. Stewardship and generosity is a post and a frame. Your giving is a post and a frame. People may not see it, but we can't have a place that is stewarding. We can't be a people positioned for God's presence without your giving, without your financial giving. Also, serving, that's a post and a frame. We can't have a church without people serving and giving. So all of that to say that the posts and the frames add stability. And I wrote this down in my notes as something that's very interesting, because we think about people that do extraordinary things, like let's say like champions, people that are extraordinary. We think about them as doing like radically extraordinary things. But oftentimes, champions and extraordinary, let's say an athlete or something like that, they do compete at a very high level. They do things at a very high level. But they don't just do extraordinary things. There may be moments of extraordinary things, but typically champions do ordinary things, but they do them consistently and they do them well and they do them without thinking. And they're so natural to them that they do them without even processing. So they do them so quickly and so excellently and so consistently that champions do those things without thinking, and they do them too fast for another team or competitor to react. Here's what I believe as a church. If we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, we need people positioned to serve God. We need people positioned to give. We need people positioned in the posts and frames, seats and settings of Element Church that can just become routinely good at what they do. Now, we're never going to get that kind of maturity and champion type level unless you start taking responsibility for the thing that God has gifted you to do. And I want to challenge you to do that. And again, whether you're here locally in this area or whether you're somewhere else, I want to invite you. Please be a part of it. I will remind you that our church actually has multiple components of it, but here are some of the major ones. One of them is that we do gatherings. This space right here, we now do online gatherings, and we also do in-person gatherings on Sunday mornings. So a weekend gathering, we do that together. There's lots of places to serve on a weekend gathering. Another thing that we do at Element Church is that we do e-groups. We gather together in groups through the midweek outside of a Sunday morning, and we actually meet in smaller groups, and we get to know each other inside of those groups. We disciple each other. We get past our past. We have the opportunity to build authentic relationships and friendships. This is really important. There's a lot of ways to be involved in that. You can lead an e-group. You also can be involved consistently and faithfully in an e-group. And you know what? That's really important. More important and more rare than you might think. Just to simply be a part of a group and build those relationships, again, in a championship kind of way. Not an extraordinary thing, but doing ordinary things in an extraordinarily consistent way, and to do them without thinking. Also for us, you guys, there's something that we call equip. And for us, that is a component of our church that helps people that are not part of the church become part of the church. It's kind of like a connection process, if you want to think of it that way. And I don't know if you ever thought about this, but do you know what people need in a local church? There's a lot of things that they need, but one of the major reasons that people stay at a church is they know that they're needed and they know that they're known. Needed and known. And I would ask you to ask that question. Are you in a position as in a church where you're needed and known? And if you're not, you need to find a church where you can be needed and known. And I will tell you this, if you're looking to be needed and known, Element Church is a place where you can do both of those things. You can be known in e-groups, you can be known in a weekend gathering, you can be known in any of the number of events that we do together. You can be known by simply coming on a Sunday morning and then talking to people. You can be known by serving on a team, which we'll talk about in just a second, a little bit more. But you need to be known. Also, you need to be needed. And there is a need. And Element Church is really turning a corner to reboot into this fall, you guys, fall of 2022. And really, we need people accepting responsibility and being positioned to take their part at Element Church. And again, I've mentioned giving and serving, but if you want to serve, you can do that. Team Element to 97,000 right on your phone. And my prayer as a pastor is this, is that every person finds a place to help someone else. I pray for you that you would be able to find a place to help someone else, because we all need purpose in our life. And there's a lot of places you can find purpose, and there's a lot of ways you can serve God. But one of the ways that you can serve God consistently as a pattern, to be a champion, to be extraordinary, is to just consistently serve and build that serving muscle inside of a local church. It's something that absolutely is championship kind of level. Every person finds a place to help someone else. I'll close point one with this. This is your church. Element Church is your church. Just like the Levites in the Old Testament, it said they took responsibility and then they all put their hands to something that they were positioned for. Every person finds a place to help someone else. That is a people positioned. That's number one. Number two is this, is what are we doing as a church? What are we doing as individuals? How are we thinking about a framework for life? Number two is a spiritual experience. And this is God's presence. You can have posts and tents, but without God's presence and without God's spirit, it's just metal and curtains. Without Jesus, I'm not interested in doing this, and I'm sure you're not either, because God's presence is what this is all about. Now, some churches have great structure. They have great posts and tents, but man, there just seems to be something where God's spirit is lacking. And then some churches are super spiritual. They're super into God's presence, and they're super into the spirit, but oftentimes they miss structure. And so we need both. We want super structure and we want super spirit, because both are from God. And if you go back to the Garden of Eden at the very beginning in the book of Genesis, we see both. We see God's presence and we see God walking and talking with them in the cool of the day. We see him breathing life into them. It's God's spirit. And also God is speaking and ordering the entire universe and the entire world. So we see both. We see God's spirit and we see structure. We need this. If you think about like a garden growing, or you think about fruits or vegetables growing, you need both, right? You need the life of God actually springing up in those plants. And then you also need to put those plants and plant those plants in an environment that is structured for them with sun and water. And you understand that. So you need both. You need the life of God and you need the structure that we talked about, that positioning from before. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says this, Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it. There's the practical structure and systematic, but God has been making it grow. He's talking about the spiritual life in the Corinthian believers. Now, we can do the posts and the systems and the structures, but God's spirit has to breathe in. Without God, we're toast. And so here's what we need, is we need to invite the presence of God into our churches. We need to invite the presence of God into our lives individually. And I want to remind us that we need to be focusing on reading the scripture. And I don't just mean like reading it the way you read a fortune cookie quickly, or the way you read like a news article. I mean like reading the Bible with depth. I remember hearing an analogy years ago. If you walk to a river, you can look across a river and you go, that's a river, it's flowing. But if you stop and it's a clear river and you look down into the river, you can start to see all sorts of things. You see the types of vegetation. You see maybe some rocks. You maybe see algae growing on surface. Maybe you see fish swimming or a crawfish, or you start to see life. You start to see things down into the river that you never would have seen if you looked across the river. You can read God's word across the river, but if you slow down and you sit with the Spirit, you read down into God's word. The Bible says that the God's word is living and active. It's alive. It actually, there's living things down in it that you don't get when you just breeze across the surface. So we need to focus on Scripture. And we read the Bible together as a church through a process called SOAP. And you can actually, on our app, get our SOAP guide. We read one chapter of the Bible each day, and we read the same chapter each day. And then that gives us the opportunity to talk about it. And if you've never done that with us before, I want to encourage you to do that. And you know what? It's a simple accountability. It's just, it's a pattern. It's a structure. One chapter a day, we read it together. So we need to focus on Scripture. This is our presence, our God's presence, our spiritual life. We need to focus on prayer. We need to be praying daily. If, I'm sure you've probably heard pastors say this before, but I would not only say you need to pray daily, I would say you get to pray daily. You guys, spending time in God's presence is restorative and peace and joy infusing in a way that nothing else is. And I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of times when I'm tired, when I'm feeling burned out. I mean, I just want to watch a TV show, or you just want to read, you know, news, or you, whatever it is, you play fantasy football, which is not even the season right now for fantasy football, but whatever it is that we veg out on. And those are some, maybe, those are some safe examples. We probably, many of us have examples that would be much more damaging than that, with things that we narc out on. But whatever it is, I will tell you, my humility would say this: I don't always lean into God's presence the way that I'd like to, but I know this, when I lean into God's presence, you guys, there is nothing that's restorative, full of hope, full of life, full of joy, full of peace, like being in His presence. And we have the opportunity to do that every single day, to wake up and to open our eyes and say, Father, what are you up to today? Where are you working today? God, speak to me today. We need to be focused on prayer. And then we need to focus on worship. So God's word, God, we need to be praying and we need to be worshiping. We get to do that together every Sunday morning, but you can do that right in your living room, right in your bedroom, wherever you are, man. Get a Spotify playlist. Just find a way to worship God. And I know that worship is bigger than just music, but music actually does help in a lot of ways. So Scripture, prayer, and worship, because we are all about God's presence as a church and as individuals. And lastly, number three is this, is we want to be positioned, right? And then we want God's presence. And then we want to be a people. We want to be with others for others. That's point three, is with others and for others. We want to be with each other, and we want to be for each other and for others, even outside of the church. And now we read in Numbers, in the book of Numbers, how they were serving and working together. They were all positioned together. But what's interesting is that the Levites were working with each other. So they were working hand in hand. They were putting up the tents and the poles and the curtains and putting all of the elements of worship together. They were working with one another, but they were actually also working for other people, because they were building the tent of meeting. They were building the tabernacle so that God's people could come in and meet with God. And as a church, we have an opportunity and a responsibility, right, to be positioned as people for God's presence, but with each other, but also for others. And the Levites worked in order that the 12 tribes could come together and experience God in that place. 12 tribes were working with each other, and 12 tribes were being worked on their behalf. Numbers 7, 1 through 3 says, when Moses finished setting up the tabernacle, he anointed and consecrated it and all of its furnishings. He also anointed and consecrated the altar and all of its utensils. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of the families, who were the tribal leaders in charge of those who were counted, made offerings. So they were all working with each other, but then they were all working for each other. And all of the tribes came together and worked with one another, and then worked for the benefit of each other. So let me talk briefly about with others. You know, a lot of people have said, especially post-COVID here, people have said, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And you know, here's the thing. That's technically true. In a very, very technical sense, you can have a relationship with Jesus without being part of a local church. I guess you could say that in a very technical sense, okay? In the way that you could say that you could be married and never go home to see your spouse. In a technical sense, you can do that, but it doesn't make for much of a marriage. You know what I mean? And in the same way, or at least in a very similar way, we don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but that kind of misses the point. It's like, I don't have to go home to my spouse to actually be married. It's like, yeah, I mean, sure. Like technically that's true, but it's not a great marriage. I mean, it's just really not. And here's the thing. you can be a Christian and not go to church, but it's tough to be a Christian and not be part of the church because the church is Jesus's bride. The church is the gathering of people who are seeking God. They are seeking God's presence and they are being positioned together as a people with others and for others. And we really can't do that alone, you guys. We need each other and we need the church. And you know, here's what's so interesting to me too. It's not just that we need that for our own spiritual development, although we do. But do you know right now our nation is so divided? I mean, whether you talk about I could give you a list that would fill up this entire studio. I could give you race or politics. I could give you gun control. On and on and on and on and on it goes. We could just go through all of the things that divide us and we where people are canceling each other and all of these things. And here's the deal. Our nation is full of people who do not know how to relate to one another, especially when they don't agree on something. Our nation is full of people who do not know how to relate with people who are different than them culturally, racially, economically. So I have this question for us. Where will people learn that? And I would like to propose to you today that the only place that's really possible for people that are that different to come together is really under the banner of Jesus. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's the place where we gather on a Sunday morning and we actually look each other in the face. We say, you are so different than I am in so many ways. And yet we both worship Jesus here together today under the same roof and we honor the King. And that bonds us together and binds us together. This was the prayer that Jesus had for us before he went to heaven. Is that we would be one as him and the Father were one. And it says, and then the world will look on and say, there's something in the church that's different. And so we need the church. We need to be with each other. We need to be with each other for relationship, but we need to be with each other so we can learn to love people different than us. Those are just a couple of the reasons we need to be with each other. Because being a part of a move of God in a city together with people that don't look like us, smell like us, act like us, have the same perspective as us, and we have to deal with God's will over that community. That is us. That is a unique thing that we can do together, and we can only do that in the church. So we need to be with each other. We need to be with others. And then we need to be for others. And here's the thing, you guys. Element Church is positioned in a unique city. East Lansing, Michigan is such a special place. It is a city where my kids go to school. So it's full of families. It is a city where there are retirement condos built right downtown. We have empty nesters and golden agers. It is a community where there is a world-renowned, world-class university, Big Ten University. It is the number one international school in the country, 55,000 plus students each year that come into East Lansing. What a community we get to serve in. And here's what we always say at Element Church is change the backyard, change the world. If we can really make a difference in our own backyard, we can reach the world. Guys, we need each other to steward the presence of God for our city and our community. And I'll close with this, is that we at Element Church are a people positioned for God's presence, changing the world together. And I want to remind you that there's a place in this church for you. And not only because we, you know, are like, hey, we'll make room for you. It's like, no, you're needed. You are needed. You have a responsibility here. And as we turn our focus to the fall, we need each and every person to find a place to serve somebody else. So pull up a chair. Find your place. Guys, we are going to be positioned. We're going to be a people working with each other and for others. We are going to be positioned for God's presence. And I want to just remind us that we are a church of all ages, right? A church of all ages that love God, love self, know self, let God love us, and we love other people. And so as we close today, I want to ask you this question. Which of those three do you feel like you need to work on the most? Is it God's presence? You're like, you know, right now, Pastor Scott, I feel like God's presence is just something, you know, I've my prayer life, my Bible reading, man, I need to pick that back up. I need to get back after that. Well, hey, part of that is being with people and being positioned and serving and all. It's all cyclical, right? But you're like, but God's presence is where I need to focus. Maybe it's positioning. You're like, hey, I really need to find my place. I need to find my assignment. I need to find for the next season how I can be purposeful and how I can serve other people. And you need to be positioned in a fresh season. And again, you can text Team Element to 97,000 and let us know. And we'd love to talk with you. And maybe the last one is you're like, I just need to find my people. I just need to be working with a people and for other people. And I need to do that. Maybe that's what it is. And I would just invite you to pray and to ask the Holy Spirit, man, would Element Church be your place and be your people for the next season? And I want to ask you to commit to that. You know, when you do deep work, when you dig deep, you have to stay in the same place for a long time. And maybe for some of us, you just need to take a step and say, I'm going to commit to Element Church and I'm going to be involved for the next year, for the next 2 years, for the next 5 years. This is where I'm going to plant my life and this is where I'm going to make a difference. I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to just minister over you, whichever of those three areas, and then speak something specific to you about what you need to do this week because of what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. So let me pray over you. Father, I thank you today for every person that's listening to my voice, and I pray that they're listening to your voice, that it's not my voice. And I pray today, God, whether it's your presence, God, whether it's their position and how they can be assigned, or God, whether it's a people that they need to join, they need to be part of a people. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that they would ask two questions. Number one, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? And then number two, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do this week because of it? So I pray that over everybody within the sound of my voice today. And God, I ask you to take these questions and to move us into a time of worship. Jesus, we come, we worship you, we glorify you, we magnify you, we lift you up. And God, we ask you to speak to us over the next few minutes as we reflect and as we think about your presence, we think about our positioning, and we think about, God, the people that we're a part of. God, we want to love you, we want to love self, and we want to love others. In Jesus' name, amen.